I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. This is the Canada Basketball Olympic Qualifying Tournament Reaction Podcast. Still don't have a great acronym for that just yet. And honestly, not going to need one because Canada lost in a game, honestly, where I'll say the first off, Czech Republic absolutely deserved it. I know it's like heartbreaking to lose at the very end to Tomas Satoransky with a turnaround jumper. Lou Dort momentarily got shook on a spin move, but recovered fantastically. Was so close to blocking the shot. Satoransky shoots it real high in the air, basically just praying for it to go somewhere. Banks off the glass, bounces right in the hoop, and that gave Czech Republic the game winner. Plus, after review, there was 1.8 seconds deemed to be left on the clock. Canada had the ball, advanced the ball. Nick Nurse drew in a fantastic play coming out of the timeout where he has sort of three screeners along sort of the edge of the free throw line, and then one of the guys pops back, usually the big man. Seen to run that set before with Marc Gasol. In these sort of tight clock situations, but this time Trey Lyles pops behind, his defender is completely caught on the screen, and he has a wide open 15-foot jumper. You know, I mean, obviously it's very pressure filled and they played a huge game and everything like that, but as easy of a look, just in terms of space and just in terms of spacing, as you could possibly get in that situation, and that shot rims out. So it's heartbreaking, but I have to say, honestly, Czech Republic outplayed Canada the entire way. It was a miracle just to even get it to overtime, because Czech Republic was up 10 with under a minute left. So you gotta imagine, how the hell does that even happen for that game to go into overtime? Well, a number of sequences went Canada's way. You had, you know, Lou Dort making a tough three. You had, you know, Andrew Wiggins taking, you know, off a rebound, ripping the ball up the floor, down six. You know, finish it with an and one. You have a steal off that ensuing inbound by Nikhil Alexander-Walker, his only defensive player of the tournament. And yeah, he gets the ball to Andrew Wiggins. Andrew is then sizing up his defender with 15 seconds left, decides to take a pull-up three, fading, leaning, awkward angle. That drops. And that gave Canada an opportunity to play that overtime. And it looked like, I mean, it didn't look like, all the momentum was on Canada's side. They had played really well. So a couple of key Czech Republic players had fouled out. But they just couldn't get it done. Their offense just really got stuck in the mud there in overtime. You know, at first, you know, they hit a three really easily. Wiggins made a mid-range jump shot, right before this, to force the game tied at 1-on-1 before Satoransky put them ahead. But in between there were just a lot of issues. And honestly, like, if you looked at the game as a whole, there were just a lot of issues for Canada in terms of, you know, if you looked at the roster and sort of the things that could potentially go wrong, right? you see kind of two things that sort of stand out to you. Just based on the roster construction, didn't necessarily see them against Greece or against China, but, you know, these are lingering fears in the back of your mind. Number one, you know, how good is the three-point shooting in Canada's team, right? Because Canada has shot the ball pretty well in the first two games, shot about 40% both times. But in this game, the three-point shooting outside of that, you know, very, very hectic last minute of regulation was not good for Canada. Canada shot 9 of 37 from three, even despite the fact that they hit like three threes right in the final minute there to force overtime. So, you know, the three ball was not dropping for them whatsoever. And then the number two thing is just how can Canada cope with bigger players? Because this team was small and you know, it's just based on the players that were available to go to this tournament. You know, you could tell very much that that was going to be an issue for this squad, right? Because you looked at it, there was no, Tristan Thompson, there was no, Kelly Olynyk, there was no Chris Boucher, no Kem Birch. So you're going with Dwight Powell as your big man. And Dwight had played really well for, you know, all these games coming in. But one concern was that beyond Dwight Powell, there was not another big man on the roster that could really, really hold it down. And Dwight Powell today ends up in early foul trouble, you know, and he's not really able to impact the game. He's only limited to 23 minutes. He ends up fouling out with 6 points and three rebounds. And on the other end, you know, Canada just couldn't deal with this man, Andre Balvin, who was, you know, basically prime Shaq out there, like at times, like 14 points, 19 rebounds in 37 minutes. Basically, a you know, 7-footer, maybe 6'11", but 7-foot dude didn't even necessarily have like that much pop in his game. It's just the fact that he was so big and Canada was so small, they just struggled to contain him. You saw in the first half and kind of throughout the game, Nickner's trying different combinations. You saw Andrew Nicholson in the first quarter. You saw Anthony Bennett in the first quarter. You saw a lot of Trey Lyles, two big lineups. None of those things were lineups that were really ever any good for Canada, because Dwight Powell was single-handedly carrying that front court. And this is one of those things where after every single one of these sort of huge disappointments in Canada basketball, you always turn back and say, if they had one more guy, right? If they had one more big, that what would have changed? Because you know what? Quite honestly, I was not impressed with Trey Lyles at all in this tournament. And the fact that he was the five at the end of the game on the floor, yes, he made some plays, but I was always feeling very shaky about that. The fact that even Dwight Powell, as well as he played, he's small. He just is small for center. So Canada just consistently had issues with, you know, guarding the pick and roll. And Czech Republic, of course, they got some really hot shooting from Blake Shill. I don't know. They pronounced his name a few different ways on the broadcast. In any case, we should really know what his name is because he had 31 points in 42 minutes, was sensational. 7 assists as well, but mostly the 3-point shots. He made 7 threes. I mean, for reference, Canada made 9 as an entire team. He was disgustingly good. And of course, Satoransky did a really good job of sort of managing the game and of course making that, you know, great shot at the end, but because Canada really, really struggled with that size in the middle. They had to foul Czech Republic quite a bit. Of course, Canada was able to score as well, given the fact that they have a lot of offensive wing talent, but it's just not quite the same. It wasn't the same. And when you look back at this game, there's a few regrets that you have to have from all levels. And I, you know, you could start with Nick Nurse, who, you know, obviously I'm a fan of Nick, but I think some of the rotations that he had in this game didn't fully make sense to me. Like, why, in a game where you're struggling defensively, how come Lou Dort only played 20 minutes through regulation? In fact, it was less than 20 minutes. It was slightly under 19 minutes, something like that. But it's a 40-minute game in regulation. How is Lou Dort only playing half that time? I understand you need some size on the floor, but let's be real. Is Trey Lyles giving you any size at 147 from the field and not really guarding much, right? Is Anthony Bennett 3 minutes? Were those 3 minutes necessary? Even Andrew Nicholson, who came in and gave you some scoring. Yeah, he had 10 points on 5-6-9 shooting, had a couple of timely putbacks, missed his threes, but whatever. He got 4 offensive rebounds. That's fine. He gives it all back defensively. He was still a minus 12 in those 15 minutes, despite him scoring 10 points rather efficiently. So all that stuff was not as necessary. And of course, someone has to, I guess, at least be the de facto big, because you really can't just go with five wings. But at the same time, there had to have been a way to have played Lu Dort more minutes than they gave him today. Like, for example, Corey Joseph playing 18 minutes. None of those 18 minutes were productive at all. Corey had a really miserable tournament. Let's be real, he didn't really do much other than throw one or two alley-oops. You know, RJ carried them throughout the course of the game. That was fantastic, you know, but he was initiating a lot of plays. Obviously, Wiggins can initiate a lot of plays as well. And, you know, Nikhil can initiate as well. And Nikhil had a bit of an inefficient game, mostly because some of his runners weren't dropping. 7 of 18 from the field, although he's, you know, was still overall not bad. But still, I go back to this Lu Dort point, man. Why couldn't Lu Dort not play more? He was absolutely one of Canada's 5 best players in this tournament. Again, he played the entire overtime period, which was fantastic. But through the first, like, actual regulation period, only 19 minutes for Lu Dort. And he was coming in and he was making plays. I understand the 3-point shot for him is slow. The head wasn't dropping, although he made the biggest three he needed to. But still, like, you know, there was things that you would, you know, want more of in an offensive perspective. But the way Lu Dort contained the basketball, right? You know, pick and roll was the bulk of what Czech Republic wanted to do. You know, they were getting downhill. They were forcing some switches. They were forcing some mismatches. They were getting the ball down low to the big man. Canada was having to help down low on the big man, spraying it back out to the 3-point line. Threes, which, by the way, I've said that many times, probably with the Raptors this season, okay? They've had similar roster construct issues in the NBA. In any case, though, when Lu Dort was in the game, that was different, man. He was forcing people away from the screen, taking them out of that play and just making them play one-on-one. And yes, Satoransky made that jumper. That's as good of defense as you could possibly play on him. You know, it just, I didn't understand that. So I think Nick should take some fault here. I think some of the guys on the roster, you know, again, these guys are all volunteering their time. So it's hard to sort of knock them for that, just based on their performance basketball-wise. I thought Trey Lyles started 3 games for Canada in this tournament. Didn't really like necessarily what he was doing throughout any of that. You know, you might look at the box score and say he still had 11 rebounds that led the team. Obviously, rebounding is an issue. But I just didn't really, really know what he was contributing throughout the whole this time. I mean, even though he was big, the size was not used productively. Offensively, he makes some plays, but he also stops the ball, which is a little odd. Like, multiple times he had Nikhil wide open in the corner, didn't swing it to him. This is during the fourth quarter as well, when Canada sort of can make some plays happen there. And even Wiggins, right, who had, again, a sensational sequence, the and one, to, you know, the 3-point play there, then the 3 to send it to overtime, then the pull up 2 in overtime. That was all fantastic as well. But Wiggins himself was in foul trouble, and kind of was invisible for the first half. When you know, basically him out of the game meant RJ Barrett was the only one, you know, keeping them in it. And RJ played fantastic. I have nothing to complain about RJ's game. I mean, I wish the 3 would hit at a higher clip, but clearly he can go to the rim. Clearly had a lot of passion for playing for this specific team in this specific context for Canada. Obviously, his dad being the GM also really is a nice little layer there too. But you could just tell his attitude in terms of how much he rallied the guys around him. Every single time there was a sort of a break in play, you see RJ imploring his team, willing them on. You know, that was very important. But, you know, that wasn't there. Dwight Powell got into some foul trouble. I mean, look, it made sense. If you were going to try to attack Canada, you work pick and roll over and over again, try to get Dwight Powell into foul trouble. If he comes out of the game, Canada is really, really vulnerable. And that's exactly what happened. But still, you got to say, Dwight Powell could have played a lot better. You know, when you're that important as well, like, to the team, you need to be on the floor more. You just have to, right? And that's something that hurt Canada. And honestly, you could even give some blame to the referees, because, you know, at times there were some real questionable calls, including late in the game where, you know, there was a deflection, that for some reason went uncalled. This is in the last minute of regulation. Lu Dort sort of dove in and, deflected the ball out of, Satoransky's hands, sort of broke up the pass on the inbound. No replay there, even though the ball appeared to roll off of Satoransky's fingers. To be honest, I don't necessarily feel that strongly about that call, just because I dislike that call. You know, if you tip the ball while the guy's trying to catch the ball, like, it's, I don't know, man. It feels like the spirit of the rule should mostly be who forced the ball to go out. And if it rolls off the fingertips because it was slightly discharged, I don't know. But still, the rule is still the rule. And I'm surprised they didn't go review that. They reviewed plenty of plays, including when Trey Lyles had to, was called for, you know, the essential, you know, a flagrant foul, essentially, on sportsmanlike conduct. When he sort of went up to contest a shot against Balvin, and he was in midair, he was bumped out of position in midair, so he lost his balance, and his elbow came down and hit the guy in the head. And look, it was a horrible scene. The guy had to, you know, was bleeding and everything like that. He had to come out of the game for a while. But at the same time, it's like, that's not a flagrant foul. I'm sorry, that's a basketball play. Like, accidents happen in basketball, but it doesn't mean you have to call a flagrant foul. The funny thing is, you have in the FIBA setting, everybody's mic'd up, so as everything's really public, you can hear one referee being like, yeah, he lost his balance, so, you know, that's not a foul for me. And the other guy's just like, look, his elbow hits his head, that's a flagrant. And, like, you have to really consider the context of that. You just really have to. But in any case, that created an extra possession for Czech Republic through the two extra free throws, plus they're getting the ball back, plus they got a shooting foul on the play. The guy shot like four straight free throws. So, you know, a lot of that came into play. You know, you can blame a lot of other guys, but ultimately, Canada just didn't get it done. And that's the hugely disappointing part, because as much as this was not Canada's best roster possible, we just have to get this idea out of our heads. Canada's never going to have their best roster possible, period. There's not going to be one summer or one period or one Olympic qualifying session or whatever where there are nobody who is free agents, nobody who is injured, and everybody's available to play and everyone's totally in and everyone's not having kids and everyone's not doing this and this and this. That's just not possible. You're not going to have everybody there at the same time. The idea is that you get the talent base high enough where you can have enough people going each time so that even with a certain subset of injuries, that would be possible. That's essentially what happened here for Canada in this tournament run. They were the favorites to win the tournament. They should have won at least this game, coming into this game, but they didn't. And that's the story way too often with Canada. It just is. And I think the disappointing part is really just like, you know, you get high hopes, and I think you should have high hopes. Like, I think Canada has a lot of great players. That being said, though, the FIBA game is different. Like, it really is different. Like, I think size really matters, and we saw in this game just the fact that one guy, like, I don't think most people have heard of Anzej, Andre Balvin. Like, I'm screwing up the names. I really don't like that, but at the same time, like, you know, 19 rebounds by himself. That's half of Canada's total, period. Canada got a rebound at 52 to 39. Like, you know, size is a real issue. And honestly, like, Canada always, it feels like, to me at least, Canada always is fielding a younger team as well. So you see moments of inexperience, right? Even like, for example, today, Nikhil, as good as he is, you know, as an offensive player, and he was electric tonight, even though he shot 7-18 from the field. But as good as he is offensively, he does give a lot of it back by just committing one, like, unnecessary foul, perhaps. Like, you just reach in and swipe for no reason. He gets posted up against a mismatch. Okay, that's fine. That sucks, right? You know, but what you're going to do is hold your position, you know, hold your ground, make him, you know, spin towards the help and trust that your help defense is going to be there. Be a little tough. And maybe, look, listen, you stand in the position, you flop a little bit, like, there's a lot of things you can do as a guy who's smaller to guard in the post. One thing you shouldn't be doing is immediately swiping in with a desperation attempt to try to swipe the ball just because you know you're at a disadvantage, so you just gamble. And whatever, that's not even that bad of a mistake. There's a lot of other times where, like, Lou Dort just has a guy completely bottled up and Nikhil just reaches in and fouls for no reason and Czech Republic's at the free throw line. Like, you know, there are moments of inexperience. There really are, but it's just, it's disappointing, ultimately. It really is. It really is. And I feel for some of these guys. I really do. Because, you know, each time something like this happens, you know, we have to have this sort of whole, you know, national reckoning of, oh my God, is this guy loyal? This guy not loyal? Or this guy patriotic or not? All that stuff is bullshit. Like, don't buy into that. Absolutely not. If the circumstances line up, players play. Just like if circumstances line up for you in life, you choose to be there or you choose not to do something. Whatever, right? That doesn't necessarily have any reflection of that. To be honest, these players are all playing for the love of the game. But at the same time, you know, you could still feel disappointed just because you know how much talent is in Canada, right? I don't think there's another program in all of world basketball that has as much talent versus how little result they get out of it. And I feel bad for a lot of these people. Like, I feel bad for Canada Basketball as an organization because they've done a lot of good things here. They secured the play-in tournament as one of the four hosts. Of course, this was in 2019. You couldn't have foreseen that a year later, you would have a global pandemic and 10% fans in the arena, not really much of a home court advantage there. You couldn't have foreseen the fact that, you know, because of the pandemic, Canada wasn't able to play any warm-up games. So as much as, like, yeah, they look good in their first two games, this is their third game playing together, period. So, you know, that's got to be an issue as well. You know, you look at other countries, they're able to sort of play some warm-up games, things like that. And you feel for the players, first and foremost, because a lot of these guys gave, you know, a lot of effort. I mean, as much as Corey Joseph was disappointed in his tournament, and today 3 points, 18 minutes, not good, minus 21. You know, you got to give it up to Corey for the fact that he's come out and shown up for all these tournaments. Corey's played with rosters that were a lot more sparse than this current one. And luckily he, you know, this was probably one of the few times that Corey's played with a roster with enough talent where if he had a bad game, someone else can actually come in and play for him, just like Nikhil did, right? You know, you look at Dwight Powell, like, coming off an Achilles injury. He didn't really have that big of a year with Dallas. Comes in here, you know, at least the first two games, played fantastic. You know, RJ, you know, a very promising rookie, or not rookie, but, you know, I guess second-year player. Yeah, but, you know, he's really stepped up. You look at, and the reason I say that is because, like, it's not just necessarily the performances, but as a leader of the team, you could see him, you know, having guys gravitate towards him. You could see him sort of taking charge and command of the group, being willing to make big plays. And even Wiggins, right? Like, I know Wiggins became sort of the sort of like poster boy for, you know, this is all that's Canada's problems. The players don't want to play because they're, you know, selfish NBA players or whatever the stupid narrative is. And for some reason, Wiggins just became the poster boy for that, as if he alone was the issue. I mean, you see what the big difference was to have a guy on like that on the roster. He made some huge, huge plays. And he was, you know, pretty good throughout the tournament. I just thought he was a little bit quiet in the first 3.5 quarters of this game, but clearly he showed up in a big way. And, you know, there's talent on this team. There's talent in this country, but, and they got Nick Nurse to coach the team, which is fantastic. I believe he volunteered to coach the team. I mean, he's not the volunteer, as in he doesn't get paid. He gets paid, but, like, it's not very much compared to what he gets paid in the NBA. He's here for the team. He's committed to the program. You got a lot of players showing up, and maybe more in the future, but the end result is still just like, damn, they didn't get there. And it's funny because it's not like winning this tournament was just going to be this necessarily crowning achievement. Getting to the Olympics is not the goal. Once you get to the Olympics, you got to go for the medals. You got to be one of the top three, right? You got to come back with something. And that's the goal every one of these guys has in mind. Like, they want to go to this thing. They want to sacrifice their time. Like, the commitment in terms of timing was huge. They got to go to Tampa for a week during their off season, you know, come out after playing a whole year. Then they got to come here, play in the Victoria thing. Then they got to go travel to Tokyo and the bubble and things like that. It was a big time sacrifice for a lot of these guys. They chose to do it, and they just couldn't get it done. So I'm sure they're disappointed as well. But, you know, the game was what it was. Canada did have certain weaknesses, and, you know, I wasn't expecting Czech Republic to sort of exploit that. And, you know, if this happened against Turkey, for example, and if it was Furkan Korkmaz hitting, like, you know, 7 threes the way, you know, Shib was, if it was, I don't know, like Alpern Segun, like, coming in with 19 rebounds, like, that, you know, that you can maybe more accept more just because you recognize those names. But at the same time, like, this is basketball. Like, these guys are pros. They other countries have real talent too, and they came together, played a fantastic game. So you got to give it up for Czech Republic. You really do. They played a really, really good game. They were underdogs, but they came out really strong. They showed no fear from the start. They made a couple of big jumpers. And they literally held the lead the whole entire time. I mean, Canada took the lead for the first time in overtime, right? So Canada was chasing from behind this whole game, and it just didn't really work out for them. And that's really a shame. It's a shame because it's opportunity wasted. And I'm sure a lot of people are disappointed, but, you know, it was this is how it goes with Canada basketball sometimes. But, you know, I still think the overall, you have to feel optimistic for where the program is headed. And that's the part that's really frustrating, because as much as you can be like, I'm out on this program, or I don't like this program. I mean, first off, you're still going to be Canadian. And so you don't really have another team. You're not just going to like switch nationalities and change and become a different fan. And B, like, you know, the players will eventually cycle out and some other guys will come up. And you do have to feel pretty happy about the fact that, you know, you look at like Barrett, for example, like 21 years old, playing such a big role in such a prominent way. You got to expect him to keep doing what he's doing. You know, obviously if guys get healthy, you know, how much of a difference would like Shea have made for this roster, for Jamal, even some of the bigger guys, you know what I mean? Like some of the centers that are coming up for Canada, you know, like, you just have to hope this eventually it'll work their way, but this is sort of the nature of international basketball, is that you get these very, very tight windows, you know, circumstances have to really line up right. And then you need to get some luck because, you know, if, let's say it was Canada versus Czech Republic in like a, you know, a 7-game series, Canada's probably winning that. But at the same time, as you know, as a Raptor fan, if the whole series came down to game one, well, you can have a lot of heartbreak happen. So, it's tough. It really is tough. And I really do wish some of the guys played better. But, you know, this team was always questionable in terms of their shooting and with their size. And today, both things happened at the exact same time. While Czech Republic got some fantastic performances from some key players. And that's it. So Canada's out of the tournament. They aren't playing Sunday. They're not going for their first appearance in the Olympics. That's got to wait. You know, again, Canada is, still, at least on the men's side, still looking at 2000 as the last appearance. Of course, if you know, that doesn't mean you're not going to watch basketball in Canada, period. You're definitely going to watch the Canadian women's national team. They're definitely going to be one of the strong contenders to medal. They've already made the Olympics. They breezed past their qualifying tournament last year. I guess, was it last year or 2 years ago? I forget now, but, you know, the pandemic has really ruined time. But in any case, like, for the men's team, it's kind of the same story. Although, even that feels a little bit unfair, because it's not necessarily the same story. Like, I think the circumstances were different. I think the way they played was a lot better. But at the same time, you know, if you're looking to see this team in the Olympics, if you're looking to see all this Canadian talent that keeps getting drafted every single year, and going high in the draft and going lottery picks, number one overall, like you had two number one picks on this roster, with Wiggins and Bennett, who went back to back, you know, it still hasn't fully materialized for this thing. So, I mean, does that mean you just give up? No, but you could definitely be disappointed. And I don't blame anyone for being disappointed, especially the fact after they went to overtime. That's the thing. They had a miracle to get to overtime. Again, they were down 10 with 50 seconds left, and then they went to overtime. You know how stupid that is? That's so rare that happens. You know, though, even the shot Wiggins hit to send it to OT was stupid. But then they just missed so many possessions, and a lot of possessions just guys running into the 7-footer in the middle who's allowed to stand in the paint all day because basketball's played differently elsewhere. And, you know, that was kind of the game. And you could look back on it and have some regrets. You know, I thought Canada didn't move the ball that great either. Yeah, I mean, you gotta like that, you know, when you hear Nick Nurse mic'd up in the timeout, he keeps stressing the fact that you gotta, you know, run some pick and rolls, move the side-to-side action, move the big, maybe get the big, switch that onto a smaller player, then you pull the big out of the paint, and then you attack. You know, it sounds straightforward, it sounds simple, but Canada just couldn't get it done. And defensively, of course, that was also lacking. So, it is what it is. Congrats to Czech Republic. And, yeah, in terms of your three stars from this game for Canada, first star, I'm giving that to RJ. RJ deserves it, man. He was fantastic for the whole tournament. 24 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Only regret is that he shot 3 of 7 from the free throw line randomly, but 9 of 17 from the field, made a number of tough finishes, got to the line, obviously led his team, played some pretty good defense throughout as well. I'm very impressed with RJ, man. I think obviously the 3 is one thing, but it just, to have a guy at that size with that kind of willingness to play, like Wiggins had RJ's fire, Wiggins will be in like levels above what RJ is. And maybe he is still at least one or two levels above based on his perimeter game. But I love the way RJ plays, man. It was very fun watching him in this tournament, watching him up close, getting to root for him. And again, I feel for him, even though he will have more chances to put on that red and white jersey. Second star going to Andrew Wiggins. Again, really quiet first 3 quarters, but really came alive there. A miraculous stretch finished with 22 points, 8 of 15 shooting, 6 of 9 from the field, from 2 of 6 from 3, including that ridiculous one to send it to OT. I mean, 8 rebounds, 3 assists as well. Battled some foul trouble, but he played when it really mattered. In terms of as a closer, Wiggins was really there for Canada in this tournament. You know, whether it was against Greece, whether it was here against Czech Republic, and you know, it just, I honestly wouldn't have minded if Wiggins got the ball more often in OT. It didn't really feel like Wiggins, you know, was given the ball and let him operate kind of that stuff. It didn't really feel like that happened all that often. And, you know, the one play that does stand out in OT was Canada down 2. Wiggins comes out to pick and roll. He's in the mid range, pulls up and gets the 2, no problem, and ties the game. So, you know, that's tough. And then your third star, you know, I'll probably give it to Nikhil, honestly. I mean, Lu Dort really should have gotten more consideration here if he played an amount of minutes appropriate to what he should have been doing. I mean, I get it from Nick's perspective. A lot of, you know, the roster is small. You're going up against a team like Czech Republic that has like multiple bigs. Even their guards are big when you look at Satoransky or the other guy, Shib, but, still, you needed more Lu Dort, and when he was in there, he was very impactful. But I'll give it to Nikhil. 21 points. The shooting, 7 of 18, is not necessarily that great, but he got to the free throw line 5 of 6 times, gets 4 assists, and of course, he had the game-saving steal there to set up Wiggins off the inbound. Nikhil jumps in, swipes the ball, was able to, you know, dump it off to Wiggins, and that set up the play, so you got to give him some credit there. So those are your three stars. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's only going to go to one man, Blake Shib. I mean, we should have renamed him Blake Shib, man. This guy Shib Canada right in the side. 7 times to be exact from the 3-point line, 4 times from 2, 31 points, a game high, played 42 minutes, 7 assists as well. He just hurt Canada. I was very close to give it to Balvin as well, just because of his defense and his rebounding. Again, most of, you know, Czech Republic's defense was just him standing right at the basket, guys driving into him. He had 5 blocks, but I mean, it's the threes from Shiv. I'm just calling him Shiv, man. It's Blake Shiv. He's Shiv Canada a few times there. So, yeah, that's how it goes for the tournament. So no Olympic basketball for the men's team once again. Wow, this is tough. This is at least not as bad as losing to Venezuela. You know, no disrespect to Venezuela. It's just like that was not their best roster. And yeah, you know, I guess Canada has to come back to the circle, you know, drawing board, I guess, and try to even increase their recruitment even more and things like that. But it does suck on all levels. So that does it for this Canada basketball takeover of the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I guess next week we'll be back to Raptor coverage. As usual, we'll probably be looking at the draft. We'll probably be looking at sort of trade rumors and all this other stuff, and sort of look at sort of, you know, the Raptors. It is Raptors Over Everything, but I did really enjoy watching Canada basketball this week, right until Satoransky hit that turnaround jumper, which, again, still so dumb, man. It banked off the glass. Lu Dort was right there. It's an outrageous shot, but it's not an unfair result, as they say in football. So thanks, everyone, for watching. And, yeah, that's tough. I don't know. It's tough.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.